All right, guys, here we are, session four. I'm Corey Russell.
Billy Humphrey.
Guys, this is Gripped. We're awakening the grown in a generation
for revival
and the return of the Lord. And we're in Sermon on the Mount, season seven. We're rolling through it. Guys, I know there's a lot of cooler podcasts out there. Everybody's sitting around. They got it all chilled out, talking cool one-liners. But we're really trying to give you guys some meat and point you guys to some substance.
It's okay that we're not that cool.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Billy is. I'm trying to get there. But here we are, guys. We want to help people. We want to help connect people to depth and reality and the vision that we've bought into.
Yes.
That's all we're going after. And so that's what we're trying to give you. And we want you to look at this stuff and cause it to rearrange your life. We're going to get into the Lord's Prayer in this session. But before we do, and we'll find that in Matthew 6.
Yeah.
But before we do, Jesus at the end of Matthew 5 really gives us about six areas that if you give yourself to these six areas, they are going to destroy your interior life as well as it'll destroy your life.
Yeah. They've been called toxins, poisons, weeds, all these kind of areas. And each one of them, he says, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. So he's reorienting what they have been taught around these six areas.
Yeah, and that's why I liken even the Sermon on the Mount to a second Sinai.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the law was given from God to Moses.
Right.
And then you have this religious structure that created all these subsets.
Right.
And all these subparts that actually were making it hard for people to come into the kingdom and experience life with God. And so the lawgiver is in the flesh and he hits these six areas. And I just want to quickly run through them before we get to the Lord's Prayer. He deals with this. He says, you've heard it said that if you commit adultery or you do that, but I say to you, if you look at a woman to lust after her, he goes, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart.
Yes.
You've heard it said that whoever murders, but I say to you, who's ever angry with his brother without a cause is in danger.
Right.
Jesus is going to be talking about the seeds at the eye and heart level that give birth to murder and that give birth to adultery and that follows all the way through. This is what you need to understand. And Jesus is actually ratcheting it up and teaching us about the nature of sin.
Absolutely.
And teaching us about what happens that if you keep gazing and feeding your eyes, ears, and mind on anger and on a lust and on these realities, it will grow.
Absolutely.
And it'll move from your eyes to your heart or your emotions. It'll touch your speech. And then ultimately, it touches actions.
Yes.
It'll touch to things that you do because you fed it. Jesus will talk about, because you're dealing with a structure, a Pharisaical structure that was using the law of God and looking for reasons to get out of marriage.
Absolutely.
They had corrupted marriage to the core.
Yes.
And Jesus is going to call us.
The thing that is so interesting to me about these six corrections, and maybe we just stay with these for a minute, but the thing that's so interesting to me about them is he's taking laws that pertain to the outside and he's making them issues of the heart.
Yes.
And it's really about how God sees and how God wants us to conduct ourselves, and it's from the inside out. And so he goes, you've heard it said that if you commit adultery, but he says, I say, if you look on a woman, see, he takes it from the outward to the inward.
Isn't that what religion does?
That's the point, right? So religion makes it all about the outward expression. Jesus makes it all about the inward expression. And this is a correction, I think, that we have missed in the church.
Yes.
That so often somebody will come into Christ and they will get born again. And we want to try to like make them look the part.
Yes.
So we try to fix what's on the outside and we miss the whole thing that Jesus is doing. He's not trying to clean anybody up from the outside first. He is always cleaning us up from the inside first. He's dealing with our heart motives. He's dealing with love and in the heart.
It's the glory of the new covenant. I'm going to put my law in their minds
exactly.
And their hearts.
Exactly. And that is the transformational truth, that you got born again on the inside and then your mind gets renewed over time.
Yes.
And then it plays out in righteous actions. So it's hungering for righteousness on the inside until it transforms your mind and your activities. It's powerful.
And so let's just camp here if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he walks through these things about the eye. If anyone, you know, is angry with his brother without a cause, and then it will end up in the murder, the eyes. And he's going to hit on this later on because he's going to say the Pharisees love to be seen by people.
Yeah.
You do it in secret.
Yes.
Which means he's trying to connect us to living a secret, hidden, connected life to what's going on the inside.
Yes.
And you know, I think we're hearing so much about holiness in these days and what is true holiness. And I definitely believe in all of the exterior manifestations of holiness, but I believe we've only called holiness the certain list of things
right.
that we see in society, and we don't talk about the anger.
Right.
We don't talk about the secret adultery.
Right.
The covenant breaking and the different areas of our life.
Yep.
That I feel like God wants to do something on the inside of you. I feel like God wants to rearrange some things on the inside of you and connect you to that. And so what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, so let's give the six. So we go anger, lust, divorce, I say oath breaking, retaliation, and then loving your enemies.
Yes.
These are the areas that he's calling us into correction. Now, at a glance, I don't know that I would think that these are the ones that would be the first in line, but they are, for Jesus, the absolute
yes.
essentials that he's wanting to correct for their culture and for our culture. So when we think about this issue of anger, for instance, he draws a line in the sand, and he says this: if you want to bring a gift to the altar,
yes,
and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. I just want to say something. This is an absolute value and philosophy of humility, meekness, mercy, and the way Jesus wants us to conduct ourselves with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right.
He literally says, don't do the prayer meeting until you get it right.
Yes.
And I just think, how often have we tried to, like, you know, just, well, I'm just going to seek God. I mean, I know that they've got an issue with me, but that's on them. It's their fault. And man, I cannot tell you how many times I've tried to do something like that and the Lord will just arrest me.
Yes.
And I'll tell you how it plays out the most. It's when I've gotten in a conflict with my wife.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, you know, maybe it's one of those mornings we got up and we just rubbed each other the wrong way. And so I'm gonna leave, but I'm gonna go get in the prayer room. And I'm in the prayer room trying to pray, and the Lord's over there like, what are you doing right now? And what am I doing is I'm trying to pray, Lord. He's like, you and your wife are at odds. Leave your gift at the altar. Go get it right with your wife first. And I mean, dude, I cannot tell you how many times you ever had to do that.
Absolutely.
Three minutes.
I did it once. I just waited for her text or her call. But it never came. So yeah, I had to do it.
3 minutes in, you're not even like, you don't even get like any good tongues out.
Yeah, it's dry toast.
It's dry toast. And the Lord's like, what are you, and you got to, and you call, and you, look, honey, I'm so sorry. I know that you said something wrong. I know that what I said was wrong, and I'm sure that that's hurt you, and I want to repent. And it's amazing. Those little 30-second, 60-second phone calls, yeah, and the heaven opens up. Go back in the prayer room. It's like, oh, God, it's moving in power. It's fire in here. I mean, but had I tried to press through without getting it right, you know what I'm saying? Without that reconciliation and that spirit of humility, there would have been no open heaven.
Absolutely.
There would have been no connection. And these are the kind of things that he calls us to deal with. And so he takes us through the issue of anger and demeaning others.
He goes, fool.
Yeah. You've heard it said, you shall not murder. He goes, I'm telling you, don't demean them. Because he says it's the same spirit.
Wow.
The same spirit. And the thing that I always seize on with this is whenever you've been in a conflict with someone and you don't reconcile and you just want them to disappear.
Yeah.
To me, that's the spirit of murder.
Yes. I'm okay with them not ever, I ever see them again.
I'm okay if I never see them again. Well, what is that? What makes you not see someone again?
Murder.
They die. It's literally the spirit of murder that's motivating that thing. So he's correcting us constantly, bringing us out of this, like, you know, this place of just this external whitewashed looking good on the outside. Because you can have a problem with somebody, never talk to them again, and you can look fine on the outside. The Lord sees all of it.
Yes.
He sees all of it. I think there's probably people right now, you're listening to this as we're just sort of bouncing this back and forth, and you're realizing there are people you need to get something right with.
Yes.
There are people that you are ignoring in the name of peacemaking, and you're literally operating more by the spirit of murder than you are by the spirit of the Lord. And it's time to come out of that. Jesus. And come into these values that cause you to lay down your pride, cause you to humble yourself, to extend mercy, and to release reconciliation.
Let's talk about lust. My goodness.
He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. What's he talking about when he's saying that?
Does he want us
to maim our body?
He's saying you cannot be neutral with toleration of lust in your life.
Yeah.
You've got to be aggressive. You've got to draw boundaries. You've got to do what it takes to not keep perpetuating that sin in your life. It takes a violence.
Yes.
It takes an intentionality, and it won't go away casually or neutrally.
Yes.
Think about this. Whoever looks at a woman to lust for.
Yes.
I mean, my goodness, what has this done in us living in the midst of a pornified world?
Yes.
And, you know, pornography, sexual immorality is pervading every commercial, every movie, every show. It's just infiltrating every reel. And we,
absolutely,
we are living in the midst of a pornified world.
Yes.
That is seeking to turn women into objects.
Yes.
Emasculating men, objectifying women. And it is, I believe, it's shutting off the spirit of revelation, because he says to look. It's about that pure in heart. I think it is connected because you're going to see God. But I think it's this issue of the look, that second glance, the realm of fantasy, the realm of you know, all of this realm that we live in. And it's so socially accepted. It's so culturally, well, that's just what we struggle with. And Jesus says, you have no idea the cancer that this is going to release to your spiritual life.
Absolutely.
When you begin to feed your spirit on soft porn, hard porn, all the outliers in our culture, and how it infiltrates to just absolutely corrupt our interior lives.
That's your CD, the one with the
eyes open.
It's about cleansing the eye gates so you can have the spirit of revelation resting on you. The whole CD,
yes,
is about that. I'd encourage you to grab that CD.
Well, it's an album now, but yeah.
Yeah, it's an album. but that is that's the point of it, is to cleanse the eye gates. And to me, the issue that he's bringing out with, you know, pluck your eye out, you know, if it offends you, pluck, it's a ruthlessness is,
yes,
what he's identifying.
Violence.
He's not saying maim yourself. He's saying have a ruthlessness and don't play with this one.
Yeah, you don't play with this
one. Don't goof around with this. So I'll give you an example. The other day, I'm on Twitter and I'm looking up, something on like investing or something, crypto something.
Yeah.
And a crypto influencer follows me, like a million followers follows me. Not my real account, my sports and crypto account. So he follows me. So and I'm like, huh, that guy followed me. That's interesting. He's got a million followers. And I click his profile, and it's a fake profile. It's a whole porn profile.
Wow.
And so within 1 second, I have this, you know, porn sitting,
yes,
there in front of me.
Yes.
And in that moment, I'm faced with a choice, but you have a split second.
Yes.
And I remember one of the old men's preachers, he said, the first look is free because a lot of times it's accidental. The second look is the one that costs you.
Yes.
And in that moment, I remember looking and I thought, what do I, and I flipped it and I blocked that account as quick as I could. And I ran upstairs. My wife was upstairs in the bedroom. And I said, look, look, this is what happened. And I just handed her the phone. I said, look, look, this is what happened. I didn't mean to. What? And I just confessed it right to her. You know what
That's
I mean?
What it looks like, man.
Because it, if I let that thing go, it would put a seed in my mind. If I didn't block that account, I'd be, oh, that guy, that's a porn account. It's sitting there for me if I want it. There has to be a ruthlessness. And yeah, it can be humiliating. But you know what? I would way rather be humiliated and ruthless and clean than ensnared and in sin with some secret hidden thing going on, some pornography, you know, habit going on. Guys, it takes this level of ruthlessness. And so some of you are struggling in this way. You need to confess your area of you know, compromise in this and come out of it right now.
Yes.
Break the spirit of Jezebel off of you. Come out of it right now. It's important enough that Jesus put it right in the Sermon on the Mount so that we wouldn't be stuck
with first
this.
Words.
Absolutely. And he's calling us out of it. And this generation is more possessed with this thing than any generation.
And that's why our boys stay boys forever.
Come on.
You know, that's the spirit of Jezebel is what is connected to Ahab, which are voiceless leaders, voiceless men who are emasculated and who have no voice or conviction or real stance. And our boys are turning, they're becoming effeminate. It's just completely destroying this generation.
Absolutely.
And I believe it's connected to this spirit. It's that spirit of Jezebel, that spirit of immorality that is absolutely shutting the voice of strong men and a strong generation of men.
Stealing masculinity. Godly masculinity, not this toxic.
No, no.
Godly masculinity that loves, serves, gives, and lays itself down and leads in that way.
And this is, and it all just feeds into one to the next. We're just going to go a couple of more. God cares about marriage.
Absolutely.
Marriage is under assault.
Absolutely.
The statistics of divorce in the church are as much or more than in the world.
Yep.
That we know, Paul said that one of the signs of the last days is that there's going to be a forbidding into marriage.
Absolutely.
And I think it's going to be, the institution of marriage doesn't matter anymore. It's the enemy's final assault against God's dominion mandate.
Yep.
Is the bringing together of a man and a woman in covenantal union and the production of offspring and taking dominion over the earth.
Well, the thing about marriage is you have to catch that every human marriage is a testimony of the kingdom. It is a sign of God's heart and his intention. The whole kingdom, Matthew 22 says, is like a father, a king who's raising up his son, a people for his son to be married. He's preparing a wedding for his son. And so every human marriage testifies of that day. Humans didn't decide to get married because we thought it was a good idea. That desire is in our heart because it's God's blueprint on us.
That's right.
And it's testifying of our covenant with God and where this thing is going. So divorce is an assault on that part of the image of God, on that part of the heart of God. And so he puts it very clearly. He goes, unless the covenant is broken through sexual immorality, this thing is binding.
Yes.
And he goes on, and there's depth to this teaching that would take us hours to unfold. But what he's doing is he's rooting it in opposition to a Jewish law that said you can just divorce for whatever else. Whatever. Tired of being married? Just divorce that one, get another one, which is very much the way that society works even now.
Yes.
And we literally, you know, I shepherd in our congregation, you know, as an elder and a leader of Gate City, I literally have to adjudicate in situations where maybe there's a conflict with a husband and wife and maybe one of them wants a divorce. And sometimes I have to say, no, that is not a divorceable offense.
Yes.
You have a covenant and you have to work through that. Jesus is calling you to work through that. Now, I would say this, sexual immorality, physical abuse.
Yes.
I would say even desertion,
yes,
which a lot of times that happens with drug addiction.
Yes.
Those things fall in this category of severing the covenant. But if you're talking about like, we argue a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you argue a lot because you've got unsanctified in, you know, areas of your own heart that have to get you know, fixed, redeemed, sanctified. You've got to get changed. And that's what marriage is for. It's half of it is it's a spiritual discipline to bring us into purity.
All right. We got oaths. We've got retaliation, and we've got loving our enemies.
Let's knock them out.
All right. Give us your bullet points on what oaths are about.
Yes. So this is a pagan practice that he's addressing.
Okay.
They would swear by heaven or earth to prove that their word was valid.
Wow.
And they're utilizing that as a means to like bolster their credibility instead of having a true word, a yes that's a yes, and a no that's a no. And you were hitting on it earlier. It's a manipulative tactic that tries to coerce and manipulate people through these swearings and these oaths.
To show how serious you are and all of that. So what's the practical advice we want to say to our people?
So to me, it's you live honestly, openly. You communicate without subtext.
Wow.
Which for me, that's the one, the most obvious application. So often I'm talking and people are hearing something else. They think I'm saying something else because they're used to talking to people
who have
an agenda, who have some other ambition, and they think I'm talking with subtext attached that I'm saying this to make this happen. And I have to say, listen, I think you're not listening to what I'm saying.
Wow.
Because what I'm saying is what I mean. I'm not speaking in a way to sort of manipulate and maneuver you. And I think that's the core of what this is.
My goodness. Retaliation.
Yes. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. So here, that's in the law. And the point of that was this. It wasn't that God was requiring somebody who, maybe their eye got knocked out by their neighbor, so now they have to knock out their neighbor's eye. He was setting a boundary that if your eye gets knocked out, the most that can be repaid is the other person's eye.
Yeah.
If they knock out your tooth, the most that they can get repaid is the tooth. It wasn't a prescription. It was a concession.
Wow.
And so what he's doing here is he's saying that's not the way the values of the kingdom are supposed to work. I put that in place as a boundary, but I'm telling you, when somebody strikes you on the cheek, turn to them and give them your other. Do not retaliate.
My goodness.
How does that square with our online culture right now?
My goodness.
How does that square with, you know, somebody says something about you? What is your response? I've watched ridiculous online back, forth. And I'm like, you're both believers. What are you doing? We're supposed to not retaliate. We're supposed to actually make peace.
The seeds of this is going to absolutely destroy the faith of so many. When you begin to fully enter into that spirit, I tremble as
absolutely.
We think about that.
And then the last one is love your enemies. and he seals it with be perfect. What's he talking about, Corey? Be perfect.
I think it's about living like Father. It's living, you know, as dear children of God, Ephesians 5. You know, in the world, you'd be perfect as he's perfect. I think it's the aim to be like my dad.
Yeah.
To be like my dad, to be just like him, respond just like him, live just like him. And I think Jesus is affirming you that if you can be reaching to move counterculture against the sway of the day, when you're reaching for those things, you're looking like me.
Yeah. The be perfect is be perfect in love like the Father is perfect in love.
Yes.
He goes, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemies. He says, no, I say, in this one,
oh my goodness,
this is the Mount Everest of love. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. He says, bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. It goes right with that retaliation one.
We say that so many times. Guys, this is for real.
This is for real.
It's not like, yeah, it makes a nice tagline. But when people are cursing you, do you have it? Have you received enough of the blessing of God to you? We were once former enemies of Christ, and he blessed us. The ability to turn around and bless, give, sow into, go after in that kind of way. That's what he's calling us to.
And bless them isn't just you say privately, I bless them. It's actually do something for them. He says, do good to those who hate you.
Yes.
Do good to them, to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. This is the perfection of what love works in a heart. Now listen, we're not reading this to you as a list of do's and don'ts. That's not the point of this. The point is that the love of God would so inebriate and intoxicate and transform you that loving your enemies is the natural outflow of your heart, because your heart has been so transformed, so taken by love, that you don't retaliate, that you don't manipulate with words, that you don't break oaths, that you don't demean others, that you don't get lost in lust and perversion, but that love is compelling the soul. And that's really the point of the Sermon on the Mount, is that love would be the motivator and it would compel you into all of these actions.
Pray for us, Billy.
Lord, we're holding this out before you, and we're recognizing right now, as we're in this, we're recognizing we're not good at any of this.
No.
But we need all of this so desperately and so deeply. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm asking, help.
Help.
Help. For everyone help. That's listening, everyone that's connecting, and where we're finding ourselves convicted by looking into the Sermon on the Mount, help, God.
Help.
We pray, let the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we would know the height, the width, the depth, the length, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that we be filled with all the fullness of God, and that we could live out these values.
God, I pray right now for anyone bound in just a spirit of lust. I just pray that you would release deliverance in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
I pray for the fire of God to rest upon every person right now, and that you would rip this out of the soul, and that you would bring deliverance. I pray for the fire of God to be released. Those bound in bitterness and anger, freedom in the name of Jesus.
In the name.
Father, those on the brink of a divorce, entertaining it, and maybe even moving forward, God, I pray for a shift in the heart.
Yes, yes.
God, I pray that you would move, and that all of these areas, that God, you would confront them in us. We open our hearts to you. We want to be just like you, Jesus.
Yes.
Release it, I pray. Amen.
Jesus' name, amen.